Message has been talked about, preached about already, sung about. Every song has been sung. My message has been sung. Oh my gosh. All right. If you got, we're not going to put all the scriptures up there today. I felt bad because I did Jennifer. Boy, she had a whammy last week. She had scripture after scripture up there. So we're going to just have a few that she'll put up. So I encourage you to take some notes today. But let's see what God has for us this morning, okay? 2 Corinthians is where we're going to start. Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. If you've been in church, you're going to recognize these verses. We've read them, and I'm sure you have. But we're going to see what nuggets we're going to get out of all of this morning, okay? For though we walk, starting with verse 3, chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Everybody say every thought. To the obedience of Christ. And then over in Ephesians chapter 10. This is one other length of reading. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the deceit of the devil. We have a deceitful enemy and the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, there we go, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So understand, these are all different levels of the demonic army that Satan has. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Everybody say withstand. Withstand. In the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a revelation in itself. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We're going to talk about that today. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That means seeking and asking in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, and again, supplication, seeking and asking for all saints. We need to pray for one another. Amen? What happened to Job? The Bible says when he prayed for his friends, things turned for him. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while about how to win every day. How to win every day. And believe it or not, we really can walk in victory on a daily basis. And this morning, at the outset of this message, I want you to understand two particular truths. Here they are. Number one, God loves you more than you will ever know. And number two, Satan hates you more than you'll ever know.
That's exactly right. That's right.
There is a physical realm which is life as we can see it. It's in the physical realm where we use our natural senses of sight and hearing and smell and taste and touch. And there is a spiritual realm where there is a war going on for the battle of our souls. And there's a battle for where we will spend eternity. In Ephesians 6, in the Message Bible, it says this: there is no weekend war. This is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the final end. Now, you have to know, I don't get up every morning and decide I'm going to hunt demons. I don't look expecting to find demons behind every door. Yet we need to realize that we must know what we're up against. And how God then has provided every tool necessary to live a life not only pleasing to Him, but also to be able to live a life of victory. I don't get up expecting to be defeated in everything that I do. I expect every day to be a day of favor and victory and blessing. And you got to understand, I don't operate my life by luck or chance. My steps are ordered of the Lord. And yes, the battle still rages. And sadly, I will admit, I've lost a few battles. I've had the wind knocked out of my sails, Brother Kevin. And at times, I've been knocked down. And yes, I've tripped and I have fell at some times on my own. Yet I've always gotten back up in the strength of the Lord to fight another day, Brother Tony. Micah 7 and 8 happens to be one of my favorite verses. I've preached on it different times. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So need I remind us that everything that we need to win in life and walk in victory is shown to us in the Word of God. There's guidance and there's wisdom and there's understanding that we can have for every situation that arises in our lives. We've shown our armor. And we're shown our armor and weapons that we have at our disposal. So we really do have the power to stand firm when we're under attack. And yes, I think we must know our enemy and how he works. Now, in some cases, things that happen in our lives are certainly demonically inspired. The enemy comes and he tempts us with the intention to get us to fall away from our relationship with God. And then there is our flesh, our own personal desires that cause us to move away from God. A lot of times the devil didn't make us do it. We were just weak in our own personal desires. We could not say no. The devil did not make you eat half of the bluebell at one setting. Amen. While watching a Western, you did it because you could not say no. Paul tells us, as meek and gentle as he can, that as a believer, we are at war. We don't fight like the world does. We don't live by the same standards. We don't use the same weapons, Brother Kevin. We have divine power as believers in Christ Jesus. And if you've been born again, then the Holy Spirit of God is present and dwelling inside of each and every one of you. And we have been given the power to demolish strongholds. How? By declaring God's Word. And we have been given the power to set captives free. Those kidneys had to work, Brother Kevin. There was no other choice. They had to come under the power of Jesus' name. We have the power to identify the enemy. We have the power to take captive thought, to take and to identify the enemy, and the power to take every captive thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to understand it's not a question of if you will be attacked. The question is, will you be able to identify it and then know how to deal with it when it comes your way? And sadly, many Christians today are living like they are on the playground, but they are really on the battlefield. There's a story that goes like this. There was this bully who would demand lunch money every day from this young boy. And since he was smaller, he would give it to him. And then he decided to fight back, so he started to take karate lessons. But the instructor wanted $5 per lesson. That was a lot of money. So he found out it was cheaper to pay the bully, so he gave up karate. How sad that is, but true. Too many times, we find it easier to pay the bully than learn how to defeat him, so we can stay on the playground. Now, there was a Gallup poll taken a couple of years back. It said 8 out of 10 people believe there is a God, and 7 out of 10 people believe there is a devil. So either Christians underestimate him and fall in temptation and traps, or they overestimate the devil and run around in fear, and they live defeated lives. Understand then, we must acknowledge, yes, there is a foe. Become aware then of his tactics, but not be scared of them. Spiritual warfare, by definition, is the battle that goes on in the invisible, and it affects us and it manifests in our everyday lives. We see attacks on our families. We see attacks in our workplace. And yes, we see it on many of our church families in various ways. So our shield then against the attacks is without a doubt the armor that God has provided for each and every believer. And yes, the weapons given to us include the Word of God, referred to as our sword of the Spirit. And yes, we have the power of the blood of Jesus that covers us. And we have the power of the name of Jesus to use in that moment of need. There are the words of our testimony to help us overcome. And don't forget then, our worship to God becomes then a mighty weapon against the enemy. So we have all kind of weapons. The devil is a deceiver, and he's crafty. And as I have said many times, he looks for that weakness, that open door to come through into our lives. And when he finds it, that's when he strikes at our weaknesses. Now, we're adults here this morning, and so I'm going to speak the raw truth to you. He doesn't say, well, I'll lead you to have an affair that will ruin your message. No, here's what he does. He comes to you and he says, oh, look at her or him. Oh, they are fine looking. And he plants the seeds of imagination then in your mind. Wow. I would like to spend some time to get to know that person better. Listen, that is exactly how he works. And you have to decide then to either cast that thought off or you entertain it and it becomes a reality to wreak havoc in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to make you an alcoholic, because he knows you would immediately say, no, you won't. So here's what he does. He says, oh, that drink on the front of that menu, it looks so good and refreshing. Just go ahead and try it. You'll like it. It's okay. It comes in various colors and flavors. A little salt on the rim of the glass. And maybe even put an umbrella in it so it looks harmless. And so if you're not careful, his hook is in your jaw in both of those instances. Here then is Satan's objective. You can write them down. Number one, to draw us away from God. And he will use every possible tactic and scheme that he can, that he has in his belt to do just that. And then number two, he wants to ruin God's purpose for your life. Listen now, after he's tempted you and said, oh, it's okay, go ahead, it won't hurt you, and you give in, and you get ensnared, and you fall, then he does a double whammy on you. Well, look at you. Who do you think you are? You're so weak, you can't say no. You've ruined your testimony. No one's going to trust you anymore. No one's going to believe you. No one's going to love you. Oh, my goodness. You're never going to be used in church again. You've messed up. God doesn't love you anymore. So you might as well stay in the pig pen. Hear me closely this morning. The devil is a liar. Would you look at somebody and tell them, the devil is a liar? And yes, the Bible says he is a father of lies. Don't you dare give in. When you fall, you get up and you confess your sins. And the Bible says God is faithful to forgive us. Thank you, Lord. And yes, his mercies are new every morning. But you've got to know God will not be mocked. You don't intentionally walk into a situation thinking it's okay because I'll just repent and God will forgive me. Don't you dare play that game with Almighty God. Because there is always the consequences that we will end up paying for our actions, not only here, but in eternity. Remember his word, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I could almost run around this morning. All right, here's number three. Talking about the devil, he wants to keep you from giving God any praise and glory. Just as Jesus said in his own words, John 10:10, the devil comes to steal and kill and destroy our lives. He's after your song, he's after your testimony, and he wants to steal your worship for himself. And just as I said from the outset, he's after our souls, Brother Kevin. So you've heard the devil's agenda. Now then, here is God's agenda. Here is God's objective. And here is his purpose for our lives. Number one, he wants to draw you into a relationship with him. He wants that relationship restored that he had with Adam and Eve at the very first in the garden. He wants to commune with you. He wants to share with you the secrets of his heart and give you all that you need to carry out his plans for your life. And he wants to love him and desire him and serve him with all of your heart. There is a reason that you were born and living at this time in this generation. Number two, his plan is to create in you a heart of worship so as to praise him with your whole being. Number three, he seeks to give you life, and that more abundantly, right here and right now. Which is the opposite of what the devil, who wants to destroy you. And number four, yes, he wants to restore broken lives. In his word, he says he will give us a new heart, and he'll give us a new spirit. And if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not glued together. Not just patched back up. New, brand new. So the thing that we have to understand is we cannot defeat Satan in our own strength. We cannot defeat him in our own intelligence. We're not smart enough. Or in our own cleverness. God's word then tells us to resist the devil and his temptations. Put on the whole armor of God to stand firm with the shield of faith when the fiery darts are thrown your way. And when we stand firm then in the strength of the Lord, when we close every door to the enemy, he will eventually leave and go looking somewhere else. One imp will get the word out to the other imps. Well, Pastor, what's an imp? Here's the Google definition of an imp. It's a small, mischievous demon. Don't go calling your kids little imps. Amen. We had a sweet new mother in our church many, many years ago that we came out of. And so she did her best. She wanted to do right, and she was trying to teach her kids to be quiet and be still in church, you know, very young, sitting at the back. And so the older mothers had to help her, had to teach her. Because when they started acting up, she says, "You better shut up, sit down, or I'm going to tear your arm off and beat it with a bloody pulse." Don't tell your kids that. Don't tell them you're going to jerk their arm off. So the mamas had to help them. Amen. So one imp will get the word out to the others. And here's what he'll say. "Well, there's no use fooling with Brother Gary Wallace. I've tried every door. I've tried every window in his life. I've looked through the screen at night, and it's no use. He stays under a giant wing. He's surrendered by those glistening feathers and under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's this shield about him, and you can't get to him. So there's nothing to see here. You might as well go on." Now, there's Sister Linda Wallace, and that's another story. She says she sleeps with her feet out from under the covers and that she's warm-blooded. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to touch that today. That's for another sermon, another time. No, she's right there with Brother Gary, I promise. Listen, the war was won on the cross. Jesus has already done that for us. The Bible tells us we are already victors in Christ. You take the ground, you stand, and you occupy, and don't settle for less than God's best for your life. So our stance then should be this. Well, I cannot defeat him in my own natural strength, but I can resist him. And through Christ then that strengthens me, I will use the spiritual weapons that I have been given. I can discern what the enemy's ambushments are that have been set against me and my family. And I can, you can then ask for wisdom and to know how to stop his advancement. And then I can bind his work with the word of Almighty God. Listen, the words of people, the words of doctors and lawyers and bankers and friends and family and coworkers may try to sting you like a scorpion, or they may try to latch on to you like a poison adder. But God's word tells me I have the power to withstand those words and overcome and destroy everything that the enemy might throw my way. Listen, we don't have to live in fear of the devil. We don't have to live in fear of the x-rays or the test results. And we certainly don't have to fear the end times, Brother Kevin. We know things are going to happen. Things are changing as we speak. But we have a promise that says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. And there is another old song, Brother Kevin, that says, victory, victory shall be mine. Listen, we can be so in tune with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and know everything is going to be all right. I don't care what hell is coming through to you, towards you. You can know everything. You can have such a peace and know it's going to be all right. And as I mentioned last Sunday, he'll give you that song of praise in the midst of the fire. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God will either give you the battle plan, or he will say, no, the battle is mine. You just stand still and you praise me and watch me work. How many times has he done that for us? When you read about Job's life in the Bible, you find that God limited what Satan could do. God limited the amount of time that Job suffered. And yes, in the end, God turned it around. God got the glory, and Job then became a walking testimony of God's love and his power. So just what are then the fiery darts that the enemy uses against us so much of the time? See if any of these have been thrown at you at any time. Just to name a few: fear, worry, doubt, lust, loneliness, depression. I spoke to a little lady yesterday. She lost her husband. She says one of the biggest things she's had to deal with is loneliness and depression. Jealousy, rejection, guilt, greed, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, pride. And again, that's just a few of his darts. So when you are attacked, I want you to know this. Number one, God will help you. I said, God will help you. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. So not only will God help you, number two, the attack will not last forever. 1 Peter 5:6-8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen, that's a set time. That's God's time. And his timing is perfect concerning our lives. He'll exalt you in due time. The attack won't last forever. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. There's only one lion, the tribe of Judah. But how many know the devil will try to imitate And he walks about seeking whom he may devour. A toothless old lion. Number three, you'll be stronger after it. After it's over, you're going to come out stronger than ever before. James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and here goes, he will lift you up. You're going to be stronger afterwards. Listen, that all that means is he's going to bring you into a place of blessing. He's going to bring you into a place of honor, which includes his strength. You're going to be stronger on the other side. Listen, God's desire then is that we are able to put out those fiery darts and flaming arrows through the power of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. And that's what the Holy Ghost is for. Guess what? It's not just to be on the defensive all the time. We can get up in the morning and we can go on the offense. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm walking in victory today. It doesn't matter what comes at me. It's going to fall to the side. It will not prosper is what is thrown at my way because I'm walking in the power of God. So, Pastor, what can we do? First of all, we can be proactive. Here they are, simple things. Realize that we need spiritual discernment on a daily basis. And guess what? You can ask for it because it's available. That simply means insight and understanding about a situation. Well, Lord, why are things happening? Why are these things happening to me? Please give me the insight and then give me a plan of action. Listen, he will give you that plan. He'll show you how to deal with what's coming against you. He'll show you, if you'll ask, he'll show you the root of it. He'll show you what door has been opened that you can close. Number two, rely on the Holy Spirit to be our source of everything that we need concerning our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, just lead me today in all that I put my hands to do. And guess what? He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Number three, study God's Word. The psalmist said, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Simply meaning you don't have to go through life blindly stumbling and falling, not seeing what's ahead of you. Did you know that unbelievers cannot have spiritual discernment? Why is that? Because they do not have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit who gives the understanding. So Paul in his writings then to the church in 1 Thessalonians, and we'll put these up on the screen. Chapter 5, he gives us some guidance for us, beginning with verse 14. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Look at this. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. What's His will? To give thanks to God, to praise Him through everything you're going through. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. What do? You test them all. Hold on then to what is good. Listen, if it's not of the Spirit, you discard it. Say, no, that's not what the Word says. You try the Spirit. Reject every kind of evil, it says. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we are all a spirit, and we all have a soul, and we live in this body. So let me end with this story today. A little boy who lived far out in the country in the late 1800s, and he had reached the age of 12, and he had never in his life been to a circus. You can imagine his excitement when one day a poster went up at school announcing that on the next Saturday, a traveling circus was coming to the nearby town. So he ran home with the glad news and the question, "Daddy, can I go?" And although the family was very poor, the father sensed how important this was to the lad. "If you do your Saturday chores then, son, ahead of time," he said, "I'll see to it that you have the money to go." Come Saturday morning, the chores were done, and the little boy stood by the breakfast table dressed in his Sunday best. His father reached down into the pocket of his overalls and pulled out a dollar bill, the most money the little boy had ever possessed at one time in his life. The father cautioned him to be careful, and then he sent him on his way to town. And the boy was so excited, his feet hardly seemed to touch the ground all the way there. And as he neared the outskirts of the village, he noticed the people lining the streets, and he worked his way through the crowd until he could see what was happening. Lo and behold, it was the greatest thing this lad had ever seen. Caged animals were snarling as they passed by. Bands beat their rhythms and sounded shining horns. And some performed acrobatics while flags and ribbons swirled overhead. And finally, after everything had passed where he was standing, the traditional circus clown with floppy shoes and baggy pants and a brightly painted face brought up the rear. And the clown passed by, and the little boy reached in his pocket and he took out that precious dollar bill. Handing the money then to the clown, the boy turned around and went home. What in the world do you think just happened? The boy thought he had seen the circus when he had only seen the parade. My question to us this morning, are you experiencing all that God has for you? Don't allow yourself to be cut short. Don't settle for just watching the parade. You enjoy the circus. Don't find yourself standing in the bleachers. Get down on the field, meaning there is so much more that He has for His bride. Don't settle to be happy in ankle-deep water when the river of God's Spirit is flowing in front of you, waiting for you to jump in and receive everything that God has for you. Understand with me this morning, He has a plan and He has a purpose that's designed specifically for each and every one of us. And His ultimate goal then is for us, His children, His bride, to spend an eternity with Him in heaven. But in the meantime then, to reign victorious right now, right here on earth. Do you know God's voice then when He speaks? Yes, He speaks through us through His Word. But sometimes He will speak to us in our spirit man if we're listening, and it will be most of the time in a still, small voice. And sadly, do not get still enough. Most do not get still enough or quiet enough to hear Him. Just know Just know His promises to He promises to hear us when we pray. And when we seek Him, He says we're going to find Him. And when we knock, His promises, He promises to open the door. And when we ask, He promises to give to us. So let me encourage you this morning to surrender your heart anew to the Lord God. Remember, He has already paid the price with the shedding of His blood and dying in our place on that old rugged cross on Mount Calvary's hill. And as a believer, then take the authority that you have been given in Jesus, and so you that you can be victorious and win every day of your life. Ask God to put people in your path, and then don't hesitate to share your life story and how God saved you and what God did for you. Guess what? He'll do for others. Remember, God loves you more than you know. Let's all stand together. Would you just say this prayer with me and after me? Let's do it there. Yeah, come on, Brother Kevin. Thank you. Harabasata bashata. Would you say it with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now believing that you have given me the victory. I will not focus on the obstacles before me. Instead, I will focus my heart and mind on you. Help me to stand strong in my praise, knowing that victory is mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember that Jesus, what He did for us, He made us a victor. We're not a victim, Brother Tony. We're winners because with Jesus, guess what? We're on the winning side. I said we're on the winning side. Guess what? That's something to shout about. That's something to be happy about. That's something to sing about. That's something to tell others about. That's something to remind the devil about. He's the loser and we are the winners. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you have a course we could all sing together? Would you lead us in something?
I share something with you?
Yes, sir.
Would
go ahead.
Be all right? Preacher, I don't want to. No. Nothing could be added to that. Oh, what a message
include,
from God today.
Go ahead, brother. Go
if
ahead.
If you study the kings that have existed throughout the kingdoms of this world, you know, have come and gone, right? They've come and they passed away.
Amen.
There's only one king. As King
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
But the kingdoms of this world have come and gone. When there was one that was under King Henry the Great. He wasn't given a number. He was too great for that. He was Henry the Great. They said that he was so powerful in battle that he could take a double-edged sword and he could strike you here and cut your body in half. He was so powerful. That he was that strong. In 10 years of ruling, he spent 9.5 years on the battlefield with his troops.
Wow.
He only spent 6 months in the kingdom. And they said that he was so powerful that he everywhere he went, enemies just bowed. They said, we give up. Well, there was one French fortress that had and a French king that had owed him money. Well, he came to collect. He came to the French fort, and they said that He took the fort, and it didn't take long to take the fort. And they said that he always encamped close to the wall. He never encamped in the middle, and he never encamped back at the chuck wagon.
Amen.
Y'all ever met Christians like that? Always like it back at the chuck wagon? But you know, he camped by the wall. And they said that one time when he took this fortress, they said that he came out of his he came out of his tent. Now every warrior, when he's taken a fort, every warrior knows that before you walk out of that tent, if you don't remember to bring anything with you, you grab your sword. Yeah. No, excuse me, you grab your shield.
Amen.
Because if you have your shield, you can protect yourself from anything that's coming.
Amen.
And your shield literally becomes an offensive weapon.
Yes.
To strike, because then there's going to be a sword available very quickly.
Yes.
But you never walk out of your tent without your shield. And they said, the great Henry the Great walked out of his tent and saw a man up on the wall. He was a little leftover. He was a little short man. He was a leftover warrior from the enemy. And he was just giving him fits. He was shooting these little darts. He was shooting what was nothing but darts. True story. Shooting him everywhere. And he admired him because he just wouldn't give up. He offered him a job with him because he admired him so much. And all the men were actually very, you know, they were laughing and cutting up about him. And while they were observing him, King Henry the Great did not notice a dartment on this side of the wall. And he shot a dart, not an arrow, a dart.
Amen.
And that dart struck Henry the Great in the neck because he didn't have his shield. And the great Henry the Great died 3 days later in his mother's lap because of a dart.
Wow.
That's all Satan wants. Just an opportunity to get a dart in.
Yes.
And that is why a preacher warned us this morning with his great message.
Yes.
The fiery darts.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Turn it on.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. It's on green. There it is. During this message, I was thinking about something that Brother Brandon Hall told me 3 years ago. We were having a service. God was moving. He walked up to me. He said, Brother Tony, stop looking at your life through the filter of your past. I took that to heart. I absolutely took that to heart. And started realizing that man that I was, the filter I was looking through, that man's dead. That man is absolutely dead because I surrendered my life to Christ. Well, a while back, I was talking with some people that used to go to this church, and one of them just looked at me and says, how does it feel to go to a church where you don't always get recognized for the things you do? Now, when I was looking through that filter back in the day, I would have got hurt. I would have got upset. I would have, you know, thought the worst. Well, what I told him was what the same thing I told Pastor about it, but it was the same thing I told him. It doesn't matter whether or not I get recognized for what I do through this body, you know, the people. It gets recognized by my Lord and Savior. I know where He has planted me. I know where He has put me, and I'm not going to let that dart destroy my life, because there was a time it would have brought me down. But I know where God's placed me, and the recognition is not what I need. The God of heaven is what I need to do what I need to do. I just wanted to share that, because that message preached that this whole day has been about. Don't let the things of this world pull you down. And don't let something, that reminder of something that somebody always wants to bring up, pull you down. Because that's not who you are.